Are you there? Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now today begins what we refer to as Passion Week. This is the first day of the week when Jesus was going to be tortured, when he's going to be denied three times by one of his disciples, betrayed by one of his disciples, arrested by the people he tried to help. Okay. And those that were screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna, today, you know, in 6 days, they're going to be screaming, Crucify him. Okay. Those same people. And what I find interesting, I'll use that word, is that he knew this was going to happen to him. He knew it. And he did it anyway. And I was looking forward to this opportunity to come and present a nice, happy, feel-good Palm Sunday message. You said, I believe you're still going to feel good. All right. But see, there are some specific obstacles that need to be removed from our path because they have the potential to distract us or delay us from achieving the goal that God gave us. And God wants them removed. And he started with Pastor Jesse, with letting us know some things, because he doesn't want us to get bogged down. And we found out that we've been getting bogged down because we see it, we know what he said, we see it, but then we get stuck because we don't see the details. We don't know the details. So we can't get past not knowing everything. Newsflash, you go through your entire life not knowing everything. Okay. And that never stopped you before. You know, but for whatever reason, spiritually, that's what happens. But today he's going to free us even more, because in order to achieve the promise that God made to us, our spiritual vision, our spiritual hearing, our spiritual perception has to be perfected. We can't afford to miss God. We can't afford to misunderstand. We can't afford to not see, and we can't afford to not hear everything that he's saying. And you say, well, it sounds to me like you're trying to make us perfect. And the Bible says that we're not perfect. Interestingly enough, God knew that. He knew that. He knew you were going to say that. But listen to what he says. It was Jesus' responsibility to make sure that his spiritual hearing, vision, and perception was always spot on. Was he ever off? So that means no matter what he had to go through, he always saw what God wanted him to see. He always heard what God wanted him to hear. And he always understood what God wanted him to understand. And the Bible, how many of you believe the Bible? Well, the Bible says Christ left us an example that we should follow in his steps. What does that mean? Follow in his steps. I'm going to make it simple. He gave us the example so we can do what he did. So if he walked this earth being tempted in all ways, just like we are, and he walked this earth with perfect spiritual vision, hearing, and perception, then we can also. We just have to do everything that he did. Because there's some things he had to do to make sure he always had that. There wasn't anything that could be blocking his thought process. Remember what it tells us in Philippians? let this mind be in you that was where? Also in Christ Jesus. But it's interesting that it didn't say this mind will be in you. What does it say? Let. What does that mean? You have a choice. You have a choice. It's available. It's knocking at the door. You have to let it be in you. And that's where we have a little disconnect. We don't always let the right thoughts be. Look, let me just read it to you the way he said it to me. I notice when I see a highlight here, that means I have to read it exactly as he gave it to me. So contrary to the easy way out thinking, we can walk just as perfectly as Jesus walked, unless you don't believe the scripture that says Jesus was tempted in all ways just like we are, yet without sin. You see, he never sinned, even though he may have thought he had a good reason. He still never sinned. See, we tend to justify. You don't know what they said to me. Well, how about this one? But Pastor, you don't know what they did. And I'm like, you don't need to know what they did. God didn't say, walk in love unless somebody does something to you. He didn't say that. He didn't say, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus unless someone did something despicable. Then let whatever mind you want in it because they deserve it. Okay? No, he didn't say that. But we say that because we just flat out don't like it and we want someone to pay. I mean, am I telling the truth? Right? Okay. You know, because I don't want to lie to you. But one of the reasons that God revealed to me why Jesus never sinned, even though he had many opportunities. Look at, turn to John 14. Now I'm going to share this in some different translations. Matter of fact, there are a few passages we're going to share in some different translations. Unless God goes another direction, which, you know, it's fine with me. But John 14, verse 30. 21st century King James Version. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. Amplified Version. I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, evil genius, ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There's nothing, listen to this, there's nothing in me that belongs to him. There's nothing in me that belongs to him, and he has no power over me. Phillips translation. I shall not be able to talk much longer to you, for the spirit that rules this world is coming very close. He has no hold over me. Listen to this. But I go on my way to show the world that I love the Father and do what he sent me to do. And it seems that always we save the message for last. I'll not be talking much more like this. Why? Because it's really time for talking is over. Okay. Because the chief of this godless world is about to attack. The chief of this godless world is about to attack. But he said, but don't worry. Don't worry. He has nothing on me, no claim on me. But so the world might know how thoroughly I love the Father, I am carrying out my Father's instructions right down to the last detail. You need to think about that. Why wasn't Jesus concerned about the enemy's coming? I'm going to give you a paraphrased version of the Amplified as the answer. The prince, evil genius, ruler of the world, the devil, had no claims on Jesus. The devil had nothing in common with Jesus, and there is nothing in Jesus that belonged to the devil. Therefore, the devil had no power over Jesus. You see, I believe that's why Jesus had to pray the way he prayed in the garden. The enemy was trying to insert some of himself into him in the form of fear or rebellion or doubt. And Jesus knew that something was trying to come in him that didn't belong there. And he was smart enough to know that if he let it in, he would not be able to fulfill his purpose. So he did what was necessary, not to get it out, to keep it out. He didn't even want it to, see, sometimes we'll let someone in and say, oh, you don't supposed to be here, and then you put them out. Well, you don't know how much residue they're going to leave. You don't know. I mean, even if I use these size 16s that God blessed me with, it may leave a blood trail. There's still some residue in the house that this thing was in there. I don't know. I just saw something. We saw an article where a restaurant, we visited once or twice, I don't know, local restaurant, one of the waiters or servers in there was diagnosed with hepatitis. Okay. Now they're all of the patrons, they're going and they're having hepatitis shots. Why? Well, because he was in there, there may be some residue, you know, that's left from what he had. See, when you let something in you that's not of God, you don't know how much of that is going to stay, even though you think you've put it out. How many of you have ever had some thoughts that you thought you got rid of? Any, you ever get yourself in trouble because some things come, you said, I thought I was over that. No, there was some residue. Believe it or not, and I know it's hard to believe, but I wasn't always this nice, smiley, cheerful, easy to get along with person. Mom said, no, you were not. But I didn't want to get rid of that person because I kind of liked him. He made people leave me alone. Hey, he was my bodyguard. And I went one time, I almost flew off the handle, and I was like, okay. And I went strutting up like a peacock to Pastor Sarah. Mom, guess what? Such and such happened, and I had a chance to blow up, but I remember what you said, and I was able to control my anger. Praise the Lord. Those glasses went down. Mom looked at me and said, Gregory, I think you need to go to God and find out why you get angry like that in the first place. You're so busy walking around happy that you controlled it, you ever have to think that you may lose control? I'd never thought of that. I never thought of that. And I had to start going to God and saying, God, I don't want this anymore. What do I have to do to get this out of me? And he told me, there's some things you're going to have to accept. I'm like, I don't want to accept them. He said, well, you got to make a choice, buddy. Either you want to get rid of this and go on with my plan or stay the way you are. Well, I knew if I stayed the way I was, I'd wind up by myself. Again. And I didn't want that. God had blessed me with someone, and I wanted to keep her. I mean, that's just that simple. And so there's some changes that I had to allow God to make. I had to, and I'm telling you, folks, getting rid of the residue hurts. Remember, there's the purging, pruning, polishing, and perfecting. To the flesh is uncomfortable. Want another one? No correction is joyful but grievous. Okay. But at the end, it produces a peaceable fruit. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I really wanted to be a peaceable fruit. Yes. Yes. I didn't want to act like a fruit. Okay. All right. So if... Okay. Yeah. I didn't want to act like a fruitcake. Okay. But Jesus couldn't take the chance to allow any association with the devil. Any. That even means thinking. Just the fact that he may have had the thought, do you really want to go through this for these people who are not going to appreciate it? He got rid of that thought. That's why he said, no, not my will. Your will. If you can do this thing another way, you won't get any complaints from me. But if not, we're going with what you want. We're going with your purpose, your plan, not mine. And the Bible says at one point he was his sweat was as like drops of blood. Well, that's how much anguish he was in. But he had to make sure there was absolutely nothing in him that devil could say, that's mine. I have a right to get in there. See, if you owe me, I have access to you. You owe me. You have something that belongeth to me. That gives me a certain level of power over you because I get to call it in when it's convenient to me. That's why the Bible says, owe no man anything but the lover. Why? Because nobody has anything in you. Because if they have something in you, now you're subject to what they say. You're subject to their terms. And God only wants you subject to his terms. So not only won't the devil be able to stop, deter, or delay you, the world will know how thoroughly you love the Father. Because you will carry out everything that he has said in spite of what the world is putting you through. And they know what they're putting us through. And they know what it's designed to do. And they need to see a people who walk through it like it doesn't even exist. But there can't be anything in us. In us. There's this commercial, and I'm not plugging the product, but it was for a credit card. And the catchphrase was, what's in your wallet? Okay. That's what it was. You say, what's in your wallet? Everybody knows, most of you know just what I'm talking about. You know, it's just like, you know, 15 minutes and you'll save. And you say, well, everybody knows that. Really? Okay. But that principle, what's the principle behind what's in your wallet applies today. And that principle is the title of this lesson. What's in you? See, that's the question. What's in you? Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming. He has nothing in me. What's in you? Because guess what? He's come and he's here. What's in you that he can lay hold to? That's stopping you from doing what God has told you to do. What's in you? What did you allow to come in? Because it couldn't force itself in. You have to allow it. You have to say, come on in. I've been waiting for you. And I know exactly where I'm going to direct you. Because I'm tired of them. The Apostle Paul had to deal with a situation in 1 Corinthians 6. And part of it, you know, had to be, you know, sexual promiscuity and all types of sexual sins. And in addressing the people, in verse 19 and 20, I thought it was kind of funny, the first word that he used. He's talking with them, he's going like, what? You know, I mean, you need to think about that. He's like, what? Are you kidding me? You can't be serious. And the implication there is that his attitude was like, you folks should know this. This shouldn't be anything new. He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. See, his attitude, like, everybody should know this. You're like, what's the matter with you? Don't you know? And the other translations give the same sentiment. Message Bible said, didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place? Point to your body and say, did you know you were a sacred place? The place of the Holy Spirit. Don't you see that you can't live however you please? You understand that? You can't live however you please. Squandering what God paid such a high price for. The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your body. Okay? Phillips translation. Have you forgotten that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, and that you are not the owner of your own body? You have been bought, and at what a price. Therefore, bring glory to God both in your body and your spirit, for they both belong to Him. But now listen to the Amplified Bible. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness, and paid for, made His own. So then honor God and bring glory to Him in your body. See, it wasn't by accident that God prompted Paul to use the temple as an analogy for our body. Because, see, everybody didn't have free access or unrestricted access, unlimited access to the temple. And there were parts of the temple that only certain people could go into. Everybody didn't go into the Holy of Holies. And everybody shouldn't be going into your Holy of Holies either. You need to. I'm serious. There are some folks that when you look at the tabernacle, everybody had to come in one place. They didn't just come in any old way. Why are you letting anybody come in any way they want? You've forgotten you are not your own. And they're coming in with one purpose and one purpose only, to defile the temple of the living God and cause you to miss God, because you get yourself all bogged up with all this other stuff. I was talking with our brother Archie. Okay, Archie, you here? No, I was talking with Archie the other day. Went to his office. He had this mug on his desk. And the mug was just, I mean, you couldn't fit another pen or pencil in this mug. And I looked at it, and you know how I see analogies and stuff. And I took it out. He looked at me like, "You taking my pens?" I said, no, I just saw something. I just want to see it. And he had red pens, black pens, blue pens, pencils, everything. And so I took some red pens. I said, "This represents God. This, you know, it's red." I said, "Blue is the deity." There we go. I said, "This cup is our body. So this is all that should be in our body. That's just it. The Godhead, or the characteristics of the Godhead, is all that belongs in here. I mean, that's it. Because then anything that comes up, access to the Godhead, is easily received. Why? Because that's all that's in there. Then I shoved everything else in there. And the pencils and everything all got mixed up. And you saw one now trying to find the red pen. You got to dig through things to get to it. Well, that's what we do with our bodies, folks. We allow all this other stuff to come in. And a situation arises where the Godhead needs to come out, and it's caught up in the mess. And I'll tell you something, it's not going to try and find a way out. That be your responsibility. His responsibility was to be in there. Your responsibility is to shovel the walkway and make sure it's a clear path.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, and what we need to understand is, in these bodies, just like in the temple and just like in the tabernacle, there is a most holy place. You know what we call it? A heart. A heart. And we've been given anything and everything, unrestricted access to our heart. Forgetting what the Bible told us concerning our heart. Let's look at them. Let's look at some of them. He just moved us right past some stuff. That's okay. Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. I said, wait a minute. I like my brother here. Wait a minute now. Okay. Let thine heart keep. How do you keep something? Well, it has to be presented and received. And once you receive it, you make a choice. I'm going to get rid of this because I don't like it, or I'm going to keep it. So in order to keep his commandments, we have to first receive his commandments. We have to ponder them and come to the understanding that this is something that's good for me, and I need to keep this. I need to keep it. I need to give it a permanent place in my most holy place, because I'm going to need this. It says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Let them be indelibly marked on your heart. Why? So it can't be erased. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's why the enemy is after your heart. Because if the enemy has your heart, you are incapable of trusting in the Lord. Incapable. Because he has your heart now. So guess where your trust is going to be? In whoever is holding your heart. Ladies, that's why some of you get in trouble. No, I'm serious. You give somebody your heart and they don't deserve it. That's not who God said should have that part of your heart. That's the same thing that happens with you guys. You give your heart to some woman. Or worse, you wear your heart on your sleeve. Gets mocked up by everything that comes. And then when stuff comes, we'll say, what happened? How could I do that? You didn't guard. You left your heart out there. Just left it hanging out. No protection. Anyone that wants a piece of it, here, take it. It's yours. Why? You're trusting, even though they have done nothing to show they were worthy, you're trusting them with your heart. Why? Because you got green eyes? Well, she looks like a Coca-Cola bottle. Newsflash, Coca-Cola's not good for you. Okay. I don't care what type of container it's in. Okay. And you're going to give your heart because you... Okay. Yep, good. I had to make sure that residue was gone. Proverbs 4. Keep and guard your heart with all diligence. I'm in the Amplified. And above all that you guard, everything that you think is so important, you need to guard it. God says, do that to your heart even more. Why? Because out of your heart flows the springs of life. See, we have to understand that we're not to just protect our hearts, but we have a responsibility to protect the pathways to our heart. Why? Well, these natural bodies have pathways to and from our heart. If any of them gets clogged, death can occur. So we have a responsibility to do what we're supposed to do naturally to keep our arteries and things wide open so the heart can receive and provide everything that it's supposed to. We have the Godhead living in us. It needs to receive and provide everything that we need. If we give our heart to someone else and we allow the enemy to have a place in us, we're not going to give God our praise. Don't matter. We may say with our mouth, you're deserving of our praise. But then you say on your breath, but you're not going to get it because I got other stuff in my heart. And so the praise that I may think about giving you, it can't get out. You need his wisdom to get in. But doubt has clogged your heart. Wisdom can't get in there. So you start saying things like, I don't know what to do. But the scripture says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. But when you let the prince of this world come and have a place in you, you no longer know all things. You only know what he lets you think about. And he gets you thinking about all this other stuff. How many of you realize the devil is never going to cause you to think about how much God loves you? He's never going to allow you to think that God will provide for your every need. He's going to, Jeremy, keep giving situation after situation to make you think that God has just forgotten all about you. So you might as well do it all yourself. Go back to being who you were because nobody bothered that person. Okay. And if they did, they only did it one time. Okay. What? Because we allowed the enemy to have something, to have a place in us. And we can't afford to do that. Luke says a good man out of the good treasure of what? His heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. See, it depends on what did you let in. If you let evil in, evil's going to come out. I mean, that's just the way it is. You let good in, good's going to come out. Look what happened to Ananias. Peter said to him, "Why has Satan filled thine heart? Why did you allow the devil to come in and fill your heart with himself?" When that happened, Ananias had no choice but to lie to the Holy Ghost. Why? He was no longer in control. He was being controlled by that which had filled his heart, that which he allowed into his temple, into that most holy place, and it cost him his life. And it cost his wife her life. Because she allowed the same thing. Folks, one of the things that I so appreciate about my wife, if I'm wrong, she's not going to say, "Well, I submit, even though I know it's not right." And, you know, it's going to cost us. She doesn't say it like that. I'm saying it like that. Okay. Oh, she's like, "No." That's not what the scriptures say. "Pastor, I'm sorry." Sometimes she'll say that. She'll use the pastor card. Say, "Pastor." And I have to say, hey, one of the things that he gave me was a helpmeet. Now, why would God give me a helpmeet and then turn around and tell me, just totally disregard everything she says? She doesn't know what she's talking about. You know, no, that's stuff that we allow to come in from the evil one. The evil one says, "You need a man cave." Right. And you, like, just like I said before, you're going to find yourself by yourself in a tomb. Okay. That'll be your man cave, your tomb. Because your covenant partner, God spoke. See, God speaks to our wives to tell us things because he knows that we have, that she has our heart and we have her heart. That's why the Bible says, and we're going to get there in a little bit, don't be unequally yoked. Because if we're unequally yoked, she's not going to tell me what thus saith the Lord. She's not going to remind me of some things. Why? We're unequally yoked. We're on different wavelengths. God, he said these things for a reason. We're going to get to that scripture in a moment. I was looking at this account of, remember Simon, when he saw the apostles laying hands on and people getting the Holy Ghost? What did he do? He offered money. He wanted to pay them. How much for this? Okay. And Peter said, "Thy money perish with thee." One translation, I think it's the Message Bible, says, "To hell with your money, and you too." He said, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." And this one in Proverbs 26 scared me. I mean, it's verse 24 and 25 in the Amplified Bible. It says, "He who hates pretends with his lips, but stores up deceits within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not trust him, for seven abominations are in his heart." Seven. I don't want to open myself up to anybody that has one abomination in their heart, much less seven. Here's a new word here. Seven's the number of completion. They're completely abominated. Okay. Okay. Seven abominations. You allow seven abominations in your heart, and then wonder why it is that the enemy's all in your business. You've given him seven reasons. Because he belongs to each one of those abominations. They come from him. How many of you know an abomination is not a good and perfect gift? So guess what? It didn't come from God. But it came from the evil one, and you allowed it in you. And he has access to it. So when the prince of this world comes, he'll have seven reasons why he can mess with you. All we have to do is listen and obey the scriptures, and none of that stuff will happen to us. None of it. It's really that simple. Ephesians 4, verse 20. Starting at verse 20, Amplified Bible. Tells us something right in the beginning. But you did not so learn Christ. And then I... Again, I mean, Paul had a way of saying things. It says, verse 21, assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him, and that's the premise as pastors, that's what we go by. You remember this church? We're assuming that you know some things, especially those of you that have been around for a while. Assuming that, Pastor Clinton said to me once, first time I called him, he said, obviously you weren't listening when I taught. He said, but I know that you're new, so I'm going to take time away from preparing for 2,500 people to talk to you. Okay. And I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to get this thing. Assuming that you have really heard him, and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him, strip yourselves of your former nature. It didn't say God will remove it. It said you strip yourself of your former nature. Put off and discard. That means throw it away. Take it out and throw it in the garbage truck yourself. Because if you just put it in the trash can, you may go back in there trying to pull it out. Put it in the incinerator. Discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life. Or you should say your former behavior. And becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And put on the new nature. Now, when I got dressed this morning, and God, he told me yesterday what he wanted me to wear, I had to be able to distinguish what I'm wearing from everything else that's hanging in my closet. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been fair for God to tell me to put this on if I couldn't tell it apart from anything else. God had to know that I could clearly distinguish the color gray. He had to know that I could clearly see the difference between a three-piece suit and a pair of jeans and a t-shirt. So he told me to wear this suit. He said, put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like in true righteousness and holiness. There's an assumption here that we know, or we should know, what that looks like. And then make the right choice to put that on and not something else. So when we come out with the wrong clothes, it wasn't an accident. We looked at what God said we should be wearing, and we said, that's not in style. I'm going to put on this. Because when I put on this, I can rub elbows with homosexuals and go to gay parties and all of these things. When I put on this, I don't have to be diligent in business. I know I'm told to be to work at 9, but hey, if I can get everything I need done in 4 hours, I'll come in at 11. I mean, work's getting done. What difference does it make? I know God said tithe. I'll get to it. Right now, I got a car payment. I got a sweet deal on this. I might as well just give it up. That's silly. No, we made a choice to put on the wrong clothes. And once we put them on, there's a whole persona that goes along with it. That was one of the issues that this ministry had when hip-hop first came out. So Philip and Destiny and Paul, and they know because we've had discussions about it. It wasn't just the music form. Every generation has its own music style. And I don't know any generation of adults that like their children's music. Okay, probably from the beginning of time. It was the persona. It was the lifestyle that appeared to be associated with that music form. That's what we were against. Because in order to be successful then, if you didn't display that persona, folks didn't buy your records. It's just that simple. So when you don't put on I'll say it this way. Whatever you decide to put on, you're going to act out the part because it goes along with it. That's why God said, strip off this, put on that. He said, put on the new nature, the regenerate self created in God's image, God-like and true righteousness and holiness, rejecting all falsity and being done now with it. Let everyone express the truth with his neighbor, for we're all parts of one body and members one of another. When angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, your indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil, give no opportunity to him. See, if you allow it in, you've given him a foothold. Something that he can hold on to and climb on in. It says, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. He said ever. Because they only do it once. Even that little once is a foothold for the enemy. Yes, sir. He said, don't ever let it come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, slander, evil speaking, abusive, blasphemous language be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. That's our responsibility. Yes, sir. That's our responsibility. If we don't do this, folks, it's going to find its way into our most holy place, giving the enemy place, turning that holy place into a most demonic place. The only things that should be found in us, as I said earlier, are godly traits and characteristics, regardless of the circumstance. Remember, Jesus was tempted in all ways, just like we are, yet he never sinned. We get tempted in all ways. We can't sin. And if we keep the owner of this temple as its only occupant, we'll be able to do that. Paul goes on to tell us in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. Why? You'll keep out invaders. You'll keep out invaders. When you put on the whole armor of God, you're blocking all of the entrances. Nothing gets past without your permission. They're on guard. Jesus said that God was in him, he was in us. We also have the Holy Spirit in us. So that means, as I've been saying, we have the Godhead inside us. Nothing else is authorized to be in there. Nothing else is to have access into the temple at large. Certainly not into our most holy place. Certainly not. So now we should all understand. Okay, I will. God wanted me to share this scripture with you. Second Corinthians 6. Just so you know, I wasn't thinking about God, about the comparing our bodies to, you know, to the temple, to the sanctuary. But I was listening when my wife was ministering at the last Women's Empowerment, and she said, she referenced a scripture, you're bought with a price. You know, you're not your own. And, you know, it's funny. There's a place for pen and paper, even in this technological age. Because I was recording her with my iPad. And because they didn't have an internet connection, I was using my iPhone as the internet connection. And when God started speaking to me after she said that, I didn't have anything to write with. Normally when that happens, I'd ask my wife, I'd say, honey, do you have a pen I could borrow? And I just write something down. Even if I write it on my hand, I write it down. But thank God I had my Android phone with me. And so I figured out where the memo pad was on my Android phone, and I was able to write what he said. He says, our bodies are the temple of the living God. When you think about it, everyone did not have unrestricted access to the temple. As I shared, I just want you to know where it came from. And God said that, and then he gave me this to back it up. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 17, and I'll share it in the Amplified. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not make mismated alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership have right living and right standing with God and iniquity and lawlessness? Or how can light have fellowship with darkness? When light and darkness come, somebody's leaving. Okay, I mean, that's it, right? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? What agreement can there be between a temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in and with and among them. I will walk in and with among and among them, and I will be their God. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then he made this statement that we seem to have problems with. So come out from among unbelievers and separate, sever yourselves from them, says the Lord. Come out from among them. Stand up and be counted. Let everybody know who your God is. That's what it's saying. Stop trying to blend in. This isn't a Where's Waldo picture. You're not supposed to look the same. Didn't he say in Malachi, then you will again see that there's a difference between those who serve God and those who serve him not? Well, he hasn't changed that sentiment. And we have to stop allowing things in us that gives the enemy place as one of his. God said, come out from among them. Separate yourselves. Touch not any unclean thing. Any. What does that mean? Exactly what it says. If it's unclean, don't touch it. Don't touch it. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care what everyone says about it. I don't care who's... One time, came across something, shared it with the young people, Deacon Esmond and Deacon Renee, they still use it in the youth department, where they're, and it's an absolutely true account, where this Christian family, his father's daughters, wanted to go see this R-rated movie. And, of course, he said, no, there's cursing and all this. But he was fair. He had a family meeting, and he let them make their presentation. And they shared how it was a top-rated movie, had the best actors and actresses. Some of them have won awards. The movie itself was up for an award. Plus, if they go see this movie, then when their friends talk about it, they can join in the conversation. Then, you know, they got to throw a little spiritual covering in there. So we can even show them where they're in error, you know. And they said, so we think we should be able to see this movie. My father said, okay, let me think about this, and I'll get back to you. And after a couple of days, father called the meeting. He sat them all down, had a plate, had a covering over it. And he said to him, he said, okay. He said, I thought about what you said, and you can go. I'm going to allow you to go and see this movie, but there's one condition. You have to eat one of these brownies that I just baked for you. And he took the cover off these rich chocolate brownies. And he told them, they're made with the finest ingredients. I got the best chocolate that I could find and put them in there. Plus, I made them, your father, with all the love that I have for you. He said, but I added a little dog poop. No, just a little bit. But we made sure it was properly sterilized. Came from some of the best dogs around. I mean, their breeding was impeccable. So if you're willing to eat this brownie that has just a little bit of crap in it, then you can go and see the movie. They chose not to go. And he said, since then, every time a subject like that comes up, he says, do I have to whip up a batch of my brownies? Okay. Why'd I tell you this? Because the scripture says, touch not any unclean thing. Doesn't matter what you think about it. It's still unclean. But let me tell you something. And you may not like this. as Mama used to say, well, and Tuffy the mouse on you, because I said I'd say what he told me to say. There may be something that you want to do that's spiritual and holy, but God told you not to do it. To you, that's an unclean thing. And if you touch it, you're giving Satan place because you're in rebellion. You're rebelling against God. Well, how can I rebel against God doing his work? He didn't tell you to do it. He told you to do something else. You need to understand that. If he told you to sing and you decided that you wanted to play the accordion, that accordion for you is an unclean thing. Because God said, sing. Period. If he told you, stop watching Scandal. It just came out. If he told you to stop watching that and you continue, it's an unclean thing. If he told you to stop watching the 700 Club and you continue to do that, it's an unclean thing. So really, he's made this simple. You find out what he wants you to do, and you do it. And everything that you touch will be clean. And when the enemy comes, guess what he'll have? No place in you. I gotta cut loose, but I need to let you know this. You can't keep what you don't have. You can't. That's why God says put off. That's why he says put away. Because if you don't have it, then you can't keep it. Jesus said God was in him. So that's all that he had. We need to understand that these bodies belong to God. He be the owner and landlord. He has the right to say who comes into his property. He has the right. Because if you let the enemy come in, he'll break the lease. And you'll become one of his and not one of God's. Jesus said, I'll not be talking with you much more like this. I'm paraphrasing because the time for talking about being sinless is over. The chief of this godless world is about to attack. But don't worry, he has nothing on me, no claim in me. He will find my heart filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and temperance. But so the world might know how thoroughly I love the Father, even though I may be in the center of the storm, I'm going to show just how faithful my God is. I'm going to continue carrying out my Father's instruction right down to the last detail. I understand that to this I am called today, even though it marks the beginning of the week that Christ suffered and died, he left me an example by doing so. And we need to make sure we follow in his steps. So let the prince of this world come. Let him come. Because when he comes, he's going to find that everything in me belongs to God. Everything. And so I'm going to ask you to take a few moments. Ask Pastor Jesse to come. And you need to do a self-assessment. I'm not going to ask you to come down here. You do it right where you are. As Pastor Jesse plays the song. And you search your heart. And if there's anything in there, because you got it, this is look smooth in the mirror, eyeball to eyeball with you. If there's anything in there that belongs to the enemy, I'm just going to ask you to just stand where you are, because I'm just going to lead you in a confession. I'm not going to lay hands on you. We're not going to take forever to do this. But as was shared on Friday, God is saying, we're taking too much time getting ourselves right. It's almost like we're the hamster in the cage. We're spending all this energy. Things are moving. We ain't going anyplace because we're too busy being concerned about the wrong stuff.